acknowledge those that have gone before me. You heard those singers, didn't you? Amen. Rose and Collins combination. Praise the Lord. We want to thank Brother Kwesi Webb, one of our deacons, for the announcements. We also appreciate Brother Robert Moore, who did our prayer. And we are appreciative to one of our other deacons, Brother William Knott. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all those who may be visiting with us. I did not receive any visitors' cards, but if you are visiting, we want you to know that you're an honored guest. I know we do have and have had a visitor for a couple of Sundays, and he was in our Wednesday Bible study, Mr. Smith. I'm going to ask him just stand for a minute, who's in the rear there. And he's been engaging and studying God's word with us. And so it's good to have you again, Mr. Smith. And he brought his cousins, I think he said, some little people with him this morning. So we are appreciative to that also this morning. It's good to see Brother Chase Kelly back. And we just rejoice in that. And I think that's April, too. Who's back in town, Crawford. And so we are glad to see all of those that are with us. Are there any other visitors to my left? Are there any to my right? Again, it's great to see everyone this morning. Of course, we were saddened when we heard the news of Brother Richard Fuller passing away. This congregation has been indebted to him. He served us well as a deacon, and we loved and we cherished his families, and we just appreciate Richard so much. So let us continue to keep the family in our prayers, and pray also for the Kellys as they are, Brother and Sister Kelly, as they had to actually turn around and go back to South Carolina with the passing of their niece. So keep them in prayer, too. I want to have a quick shout out to the graduates this morning. I know there's several. My grandson Caleb and Kayla Sinners graduated yesterday, last night, and so I'm sure there are others. Redford does plan on having a formal acknowledgement of them and giving away a Bibles coming up in the next few weeks. So, but let's keep all of our graduates in our prayers at this time, too. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read one scripture for you this morning, and that scripture basically kind of summarizes the thoughts, and it will be used as a launching pad for the things that I want to share with you this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." This morning, I want to talk to you about a few things, and hopefully you can appreciate the things that I will share with you. You know, often our jobs require that tasks have to be done, and that we have to make decisions to choose the most important tasks to do first. We have to complete those, and we have to do it from a perspective of the most important assignment getting done before other things. You know, some things come easy, some things we're good at, but it might not be what the boss wants. Amen? Stephen R. Covey had a very popular book a while back that was called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And principle number 3 in that book was first things first, or put first things first. And from a business perspective, that's always a good thing to do. That's one of the things that I try to practice myself in everything that I do, making sure that if you can't do everything, do what's important first. And then that way you will have done the best that you could do. You know, if the dog needs to be walked and the baby needs a diaper change and a bottle, which one do you do first, the baby or the dog? Well, now, if the gas gauge says empty and the windshield wiper fluid or light comes on, do you get gas or do you get windshield wiper fluid? Which one do you do first? There are some things that must come first. Before we can read, we must know the alphabet, amen? Before we can do algebra, we must know basic math. And when it comes to spiritual things, it's also true. I remember as a young man, one of the hardest things that I had to do in my life was to make a decision, was to choose what was most important. It was making a choice between whether or not I was going to continue to play football in high school and go to practice afterwards and allow that to take up my time, or whether or not I was going to actually get a part-time job that I could work on and help to supply some financial assistance for the family. Now, I was having a ball on the football field. I was becoming popular in school. It was fun wearing the uniform, and all of the attention was glorious, but food needed to go on the table, amen? And someone who had been there for me, who had done all the work in the past, was not able to do it any longer, and so I needed to step up. And I remember that that was a difficult decision, but I came to the conclusion that taking care of the family was first. Doing what I could to contribute was more important than playing football. And so I give you a little personal experience. And so this morning, as we consider spiritual things and what should be first, let us consider that we need to know what is of first importance when it comes to spiritual things. And so the title this morning is Put First Things First. Put First Things First. Have you noticed that we find time to do the things that we like to do? Sports fans find time to watch sports on television, to go to sporting events. They find time to hang out and to have, what do you call these things when they're hanging out before the game? Tailgates, there you go. They find time to tailgate and to do all of those things that they want to do. I'm always intrigued by golfers. Have you noticed that as soon as the snow melts, the sun shines, you'll find somebody out on the golf course? They find time to do what they want to do. And I've been acquainted with some individuals who were in bowling leagues, and they bowled every day of the week. You know anybody like that? Mm-hmm. You see, they find time to do the things that they want to do. And I also know other people who go fishing 2, 3, and 4 times a week. They find time to do the things that they want to do. Let us remember the words of Jesus, because I believe he kind of summed it up. In Luke 12 and 34, here's a true point, that wherever our treasures are, that's where our heart is going to be also. And if our heart is into it, if our mind is into it, if it is the number one thing on our list, well, we're going to be found doing it. Amen. Let me share. Jesus taught on several occasions we should put first things first, or we should put things of first importance first. Put first things first. Let me share this with you. First of all, put spiritual things first. From our scripture reading this morning in Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, the Bible tells us of Jesus, how he's traveling, and he comes to the city of Mary and Martha. And he receives an invitation to come in and to have dinner with them. And Mary is sitting around and listening to him at the master's feet, and she's holding on to every word that he has to say. But Martha is trying to get the food together. She's making preparations, and she gets a little upset. She comes and says, "Master, don't you understand that I need my sister to help me? Tell her to get up and help me out with the preparations." But guess what? He says to her, "Martha, you are bothered by many things and trouble." He said, "But she has chosen the better part. She has chosen that which is good. She has chosen the number one thing. She has chosen that which is of most importance." Now, maybe somebody got to fix the food. We understand that. But she could have listened to Jesus and then got up along with her sister and then prepared it. There are some things that are just more important. And Jesus always used these opportunities to teach what we needed to know. Put eternal life more important than this life. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 26, the Bible says, they're pointing out that what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? New American Standard says forfeit when it comes to his soul. But if we should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You one day will give up this body, you and me. And one day we'll cease to be on this side of life. But the spirit of man is going to continue to live. The spirit is going to live and be either with God or eternally lost. So for that reason, we need to pay more attention to eternal life. Some people are so busy. "Well, I don't know if I'm going to have food today. Well, you know, my car broke down. Well, the kids are driving me crazy. And oh, my neighbor, he put too much water and it got on my side of the grass." And you name it and they got it, you know. We are so busy with all of this stuff and we pay very little attention to the most important things in life. And that is the spiritual side of life. Jesus also taught another first principle. He said, from the standpoint of first get right with your brother and then sacrifice to God. In Matthew 5 and verse number 23 and 24, there the Bible points out that if you are there at the altar and you're preparing to offer your sacrifice and you remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and sacrifice. Now, I don't want anybody getting up leaving out of church. Here's what he's teaching there, that there are some things that are important. How can you say you love God whom you've never seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? How can you say that you are so chummy with God, but you hate your brother whom God made? So he's saying that you need to get your relationships right. You can't be all tight with God and hate your brother and sister. Amen. Sometimes people do some annoying things. And I'll share this with you. We were at the graduation, and we chose some seats that were right at the beginning of the elevation. And for some reason, when we filled up all that row, people would come here and they would want to get over there to the aisle. And they would kept coming, "Excuse me, excuse me." It took some patience for those brothers, I'm telling you, to allow them to keep doing that, because don't you see where the aisle is? You know, sometimes, and that was just an example, that your brother and sister, your fellow human being, can cause you a little concern and test your patience from time to time. Amen? I'm saying to myself, like, don't your eyes work? You know, you see where the aisle is. Why are you coming over here messing with us? But you know, I said, okay. I wasn't too chummy, but I said, okay, I'll let him go. It's just, that's life. Sometimes you are going to have to be right with your brother, even in spite of the circumstances and the situations that go on. You have to have a determination that I'm going to be right with my brother. And when we have that, then we can worship God with a clear conscience, putting first things first. First, shape up yourself before you try to whip others into shape is another principle that Jesus shared with us. In Matthew 7 and verse number 5, he says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Before you try to fix someone else's problems, make sure you're working on your own. Amen? All of us would kind of go, if we saw somebody who was 500 pounds and who was barely walking, and they said, "You need to get in shape." Like, man, you better be quiet. That arrow's going to turn back. You know, and he say, "I can help you out. I'm a personal body trainer." We go, "Yeah, right." Why? Because the person is not doing what he's trying to tell you to do. We don't respect, nor should we, someone trying to help us out when we can clearly see that they need to help themselves. Amen? Amen. Jesus pointed out then, first, shape up yourself, and then you can shape somebody else up. Amen. Then there's another point that we need to see that really zeroes in on the crux of the matter this morning, and that's Christ and his kingdom are first. That scripture says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all of these other things will be added to you." I want to point out to you, if you didn't know, the Lord is first. Even if you don't want him to be, the Lord is first. In Acts 4, in verse number 12, the Bible tells us, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name other than Jesus Christ for salvation today. You might not want to listen to him. You might not care about it. You might ignore it. But guess what? If you want to be saved, you're going to have to come through Jesus Christ. The Bible also tells us, Colossians 1:18, that might say 3 if it's up there. But in Colossians 1:18, the Bible talks about how that Christ is the head of the body, the church, and that he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, King James says, he might have the preeminence. The New American Standard says that he might come to have first place in all things. Christ is first, whether you like it or not. In Isaiah 41 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first, and with the last, I am he." You can't get around it that God is number one. Can't get around it that he is the first, and we have to give him that place in our life. Now, some of you are listening. I heard this before. But stay tuned, folks. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to do it. Listen for a few minutes. We might as well put him first because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the bright and the morning star. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is that spiritual rock. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the one and the only mediator between man and God. And also we need to know that he is the Rose of Sharon. He is the only potentate. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the Logos, the Word that was in the beginning. He is our lively hope. He is our bridge over troubled waters. He is our elder brother. He is our Savior. He is our judge that is to come. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He should be number one in our lives. Amen. Put him first in your speech. In Ephesians 4:29, the Bible says we need to find those words to speak that will be pleasing, those words that will be acceptable, and those words that will fit the moment according to the purpose of God. Just because someone talks about you, you don't have to let them have it. You don't have to bring out the machine gun. One or two words might be enough. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Woo, that takes some humility, amen? But sometimes that's what we need to do. Sometimes we need to put him first in our speech. You wear in the name of Christ, and they say, woo, that came out of his mouth. Put him first in your speech. Put your contribution, oh, I'm going to meddle a little bit now. Put your contribution to the Lord at the top of your budget. And by the way, if you don't have a budget, make a budget. Amen? Put him at the top of your list at the budget. Yeah, way above your car note. Mm-hmm. Make it number one. My giving to the Lord. If the first thing that's going to get paid, Lord, you're going to get paid. Because you're first in my life. People talk about, he's the head of my life. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Put your mouth where your money is. Amen. Put him at the top of the list. Before you spend your money on all of those games and everything else, and before you spend your money on the food and all the stuff that you shouldn't be eating, put it at the top. Set it aside. Yeah, I'm meddling. I told you I was. Put it at the top. Put it at the top. That way, when you get a chance to give to God, you're not coming up in here, well, Lord, this is all I got. Mm-hmm. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul told them when it comes to spiritual giving that we should lay by in store, according to King James. The New American Standard says, lay aside. Put it aside. You know, determine a goodly amount and put it aside. You see, when you don't put it aside, and this is for free. That's why I put my money in the bank. You know, we got some good old boys. This is the bank right here. They have a big old roll they put in their pocket. Don't you know that money will go here, there, and everywhere? But if you put your money in the bank, restrict spending a little bit, then you will spend your money on first things first. The most important things, and not all this other little stuff. You know, sometimes it's good not have a lot of money in your pocket, because when somebody come up, you can say, I don't have anything right now. If you got a big old roll there, you're going to feel like, well, I got to say this, or else I'm going to be lying about it. Yeah. That was free, like I said. I won't charge you. Put the kingdom of God. Put the church of Christ. Did you get that? Colossians 1, verse number 13. We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of our dear Son, Jesus Christ. Christ established but one kingdom. Christ established but one church. Matthew 16 and verse number 18, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ didn't build all these churches that you see on the street corner. He didn't even establish the universal, what's called the Catholic Church, because the church that Christ established came before the Catholic Church. And notice what he says, seek the kingdom, seek the church. Make sure you find where I'm going to put salvation. Seek ye first the kingdom. Only place that salvation is going to take place today is if you get in the church and if you get in the right church. In Acts 2 and verse number 47, they were praising God and having favor of all the people. And the Lord was adding to the church daily that those were being saved. I'm telling you, it's getting quiet. I'm hearing crickets now. Because this is what Jesus was saying. Seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33 is a summation of the things that had preceded before. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about what food you need to eat. You don't have to worry about what clothes you're going to wear. Because God already got that covered. You just seek where salvation is today. Because it is salvation for your soul. You just seek God's righteousness. And then all of these other things will be added to you. Before you graduate from high school, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. Before you run off and join the military, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. Before you get married, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. Oh, you're going to need it. When you get married, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. And before you have children, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. And Lord knows after you have children, put his kingdom and his righteousness first. Because you're going to need something to help you out. You're going to need something to tell them little buggers. Oh, yes, you are. Put his kingdom and his righteousness first. And then there's a blessing in this that I want to share with you, and the lesson will be yours. He said, when you do this, you're going to be blessed. Did you notice he said, and all these other things will be added to you. When you put first things first, blessings will come. In Deuteronomy 28, God made a promise to his people. And I've just shared with you the promise that God has made for you and me today. But notice some of the things that God said to his people at that time. He said, blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, of the ground, and of the offspring of your beast, and the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. He said, blessed shall be your kneading bowl, and blessed you shall be when you go out, and blessed you shall be when you come in. And he went on to say that the Lord will cause you to, your enemies rather, to rise up, who rise up against you.
He will cause them as they rise up on one way against you, that they will flee from you in seven different ways. Amen. He says, you're going to be blessed. And he said many more blessings there. And he says, the Lord will make you to be the head and not the tail. And you only will be above, and you will not be underneath. And he says, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I'm charge you today to obey them. He says, blessed you will be. God will bless your house, amen. God will bless your children, amen. God will bless your marriage, amen. God will bless you to get the education that you need, amen. God will put money in your bank, amen. God will cause your children to act right, amen. Blessed you shall be when you go out on 96. Blessed you shall be when you ride on 75. And blessed you shall be when you pull up in the driveway. God will bless you everywhere you go. Amen. God says, I will bless you if you will just obey me and do my commandments. In this time, in these days, we need to get back to putting God first. We need to get back, and some of us who haven't started, we need to get back to putting first things first. Which is more important, to send your child to Yale or send him to Bible study? You might have an educated fool. But if you send him to God and let God work on him, he will be educated. Amen. And Yale and Harvard and Princeton and all the rest of it will come. First things first, folks. Let's get back to basics. First things first. It's God. It's Christ first in your life. Is he first? If he's first, then you realize that there's nothing more important. If he's first, I'm not going to put anything before him. If he's first, I'm going to give him his proper time. If he's first, I'm going to make sure that I serve him. If he's first, I'm going to be found in his assembly. If he is first, I'm going to praise his name. If he is first, I'm going to proclaim his name. If he is first, I'm never going to leave him, because he is the only one who can save me. If you are here this morning and you realize that God is so good, God is so good, according to John 3, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is so good that he understands sometimes you and I mess up. In Romans 3 and verse 23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God knows that. That's why he sent Christ. In Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. If you keep on living without Christ and you keep on doing the things that you're doing, one day you're going to get a payday, and the payday is death, spiritual death, separation from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But the second part of that verse, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. This morning, if you're here, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Scripture say, I tell you nay, except you believe in he, you shall all likewise perish. If you're here this morning, do you believe? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to confess Christ before men? Confessing with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you deny him before men, he will deny you before the Father in heaven. If you confess him before men, he will confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. You got a choice. What's most important? Live a life denying and ignoring God, or to live a life confessing God every day. I believe. Because of that, Lord, hey, even when I go out to eat my food, I say thank you. Amen. I believe in you, God. Folks might look at me crazy when I say it, but I don't care. I believe in you, Lord. And I'm confessing your name wherever I go. Will you be buried with him in baptism? Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 1 Peter 3:21, it's a like figure wherein to baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ had stayed in the grave, then we all could walk out of here and go home. But he got up. He got up with all power in his hand. He got up and he's now at the right hand of God. He got up and he defeated Satan and sin and all of those things. He got up. Amen. Amen. And so because of that, every one of us, we are indebted to him. If you're here this morning and he's not first in your life, here's a chance to make him first. Maybe you haven't been baptized before. Maybe you've been baptized by erroneous teaching. Maybe you have been baptized and you haven't been living the life that you should be living. But folks, it only works one way. It works one way. I'm going to tell you this. It's free too. You know, most of us don't want insurance. I hate insurance. Most of us don't like it. Most of us don't want it. The only time you want insurance is when you need it, right? The only time you want insurance is when you have an accident. The only time your family shake their head and say, why wouldn't they have some insurance on themselves, is when you die and don't have some. See, that's one of those first things first. You buy the insurance and then you go on your way. And you know you are covered because you have done first things first. You've taken care of business. And so it simply means then, when a spiritual side of it is, why don't we take care of the spiritual things that need to be done and then go on and live our lives in Christ Jesus and be faithful to God, and God will take care of us. The lesson is yours. If you're here and if you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.
All my trials and all,
will you come this morning?
Cares I can tell them to my Lord, and heal my burdens bear.
Won't you come this morning?
Through the pain, through the pain.
Come on and give your life to God.
And the strain, the strain, said only he brings me hope.
Is there someone else? Will you come this morning?
My trials. All my trials, I'm on my knees, on my knees, and I'm bowed.
Oh, I'm on my knees this morning. Won't you come to Jesus?
In prayer, I take all my trials.
You can take all of your burdens,
and I gently lay them there, seeing he still hears, he hears, he hears, and he dries my tears, My tears said only, he brings me hope through all my trials. Oh, my trials, burden low, burden low, and full of care.
Won't you come to Jesus this morning?
Of care.
Why don't you get it right?
Sorrows,
why don't you do first things
first? Weigh my shoulders down and fill me with despair. But God knows, God knows, God knows, and his mercy shows. It shows only, only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials. Oh, my trials, sing, oh, my trials, my trials, and oh, my cares, my care. I can tell them to my Lord and heal my burdens bear through the pain, and the strain, the strain will only Jesus brings me hope through all my trials. Oh, my trials.
Amen, amen. You've been an awesome audience as you listened to the message this morning. It's my prayer that you've been encouraged, that you've been uplifted, and that you've been edified by God's word. And may God continue to bless and keep you. Amen.
Let you introduce. Good afternoon, church.